The covenant of this fellowship is beautiful. It binds us together with beautiful, poetic, religious words, but ones that are not too specific. The first line invokes our grand hope that love will be the spirit of this congregation. Love sounds great, but what is love? What is love, and how do we make it a spirit? In 1992, there was a Trinidad-born artist named Nestor Hadaway who asked this question in a song that became a global popular song, saying, "What is love?" And then in the lyrics, he immediately follows that question with, "Baby, don't hurt me no more." There are songs about the pain of love. There's songs about love gone bad, and they make me wonder, when we say we want love to be the spirit of this congregation, are we just talking about sunshine and good feeling and warm kittens, or are we talking about heartbreak and pain and longing and suffering? What is love? What do we mean by love? Remember back in the 90s, there was a show called Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse. And often Pee-wee would say, one time he was enjoying a snack. He was enjoying a snack with his friends, and he said, "I love fruit salad." And they all said, his friends said, "Well, then why don't you marry it?" And then he said, "I think I will." And they played out his exchanging vows with a bowl of fruit salad. It was in a blue bowl with a veil, no less. We mean a lot of things by love. On the Sunday before Valentine's, I always have explored the meaning of that word. And the basic fact is that love means many things, even contradictory things. And we have other words that talk about similar ideas. Even the word like can overlap with love. As in, do you like me or do you like me? As a theologian, I get to use words from ancient Greek. In that language, there's at least 5 completely different words that often get translated into English and only the one word of love. And they reveal something about love. The primary theological words, of course, are agape, which is a sort of divine, unconditional, pure regard, positive regard, love. And then it's related to words like charity and the Sanskrit word metta, which I'll get back to later. And then there's philia, which is that love that one feels between friends, long-standing friends, or people that we're very loyal to, people that we share things with, have a sort of connection in some way or another. And then there's Eros. Eros, of course, is that basic driving desire or hunger for something, a positive attraction to something. And then there's storge. Storge is that love that you find in family or in a nation, where it's a much broader sense of one's identity and connection to others, a certain sense of loyalty and obligation to others. And then there's xenia. Xenia is the goodwill that we give in terms of hospitality to strangers or to guests. It's a kind of love. It's a kind of kindness. It's a sense of respect and connection. And then there's even philautia, which is self-love. And self-love can be a horrible character flaw, but it's also really the basis of all the other loves all together. And the first thing I want you to note about all these different forms of love, these different ways of talking about the thing that we call love, is that really it's not just one thing. It's kind of a much broader thing, but it's also not simply feelings. Love is not just a feeling. Of course, there is a feeling. There's a basic feeling of positive regard, connection, desire to improve or enhance or be connected to a person or a place or a thing or even an action. You could say, "I love skiing," right? But those don't just apply a feeling. It also assumes that you go skiing You know, if you love ice cream, you want to eat ice cream, you don't just kind of look at it. There's always action, some sort of obligation, something that we do. Love has to be embodied in action. It's not merely a feeling. And the actions determine what the love really is and what love looks like and how it is present in the world. And that matters especially when there is pain and there is difficulty and division in a relationship. How do you express love? What does it mean? Obligations and actions make love present. There's an author named Mary Broussard. Writes about spirituality often, and she tells of a friendship that has endured the time and tides and decades, and it has lasted because the other woman in the relationship takes the time necessary to be a friend. Mary writes, she's the one who remembers the holidays. She's the one who phones in regularly to see how I am doing or stops by. She is the one who writes a condolence letter when I have experienced a loss or sends an encouraging card when I'm under stress. If she wants to come over and I say, I have too much work to do, she'll say, you have to eat. I'll come over. We'll get something, just a bite. There's always this action, and it shows the love, and it shows the commitment. It's actually what makes the quality of the relationship. Of course, there are other values in the world, and we have to decide how to live out those values. I think about Montgomery Burns, who's the great tycoon, the very successful business tycoon in The Simpsons. And once someone asked him, what is the key to your immense financial success? And the story came up to me because I was thinking about our current economy where business seems to be boiling and people are all full of jobs and people, unemployment is down, and I was thinking about business. What is the key to success? And Montgomery Burns responded, I'll keep it short and sweet. Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay if you wish to be successful in business. I was reading another little story, fictional characters, and there was this young man who was just struggling with what to do about a young woman, a heterosexual boy, who was thinking about this relationship, and he was talking to his grandmother about this girl, and the grandmother's all in Spanish. The grandmother said, frente al amor y la muerte, no sirve de nada ser fuerte. In the face of love and death, strength serves no one. Love demands things of us, pushes us, challenges us as much as death. But Unitarian Universalists have always been concerned not simply about the feelings that we have in the face of such things, but about tempering those feelings with our values, tempering our feelings with clear thinking. It matters what we value and what we share and how we live those values out. Those values helps us choose our actions. What actions will flow from our feelings. This is a big part of our OWL curriculum, our sexuality curriculum. Our sexuality curriculum is not simply about biology and mechanics. Back in the 60s, we were leaders in sexuality education. Unitarian Universalists changed the face of sexuality education by creating About Your Sexuality. But that was mostly about biology and mechanics. And we realized fairly quickly that there's something was missing, and what was missing were values and relationships and how those are shaped by the biology and the mechanics. What does it mean to be in love, in a loving relationship that is also physical and sexual? Years ago, a member of a congregation came to me with a dilemma. She had been divorced for a couple of years from her husband, and she had made a commitment not to bring anyone new into her life, not have any romantic entanglements until her children had, all three of her children had graduated from high school, teenagers. She was holding to that commitment, and she wanted more exercise, so she joined a dragon boat rowing club. And she immediately felt connection to another rower in that group. And she was feeling these feelings. They started talking after rowing and just being sitting next to each other, and she started feeling these feelings were rising up. And she came to me, and this was a dilemma, not only because of her promise to her that she had made to herself, to her children, but it was a dilemma because she had always thought of herself as a heterosexual and this other rower was a woman. And she didn't know what to do about it. And I said, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? We started exploring what actions could she take. Of course, she could have just left rowing and gone on and play soccer, run away, right? I talked to her, we talked about honesty. We talked about facing your feelings. And she eventually, you know, she was most worried about her children. So she, eventually her kids brought it up. They said, we noticed that you're a lot happier lately. And she said, well, I met someone. And they said, oh, that's great. Tell us about that person. She said, well, it's another woman. And they said, oh, how cool. So she raised good kids who were open and encouraging. She began to decide what kind of actions she could take and how to follow love, what it meant, what her obligations meant, what kind of life and happiness was there for her. It was about sharing with her children, sharing with me, sharing with this other person, feelings and thoughts and experiences. That's what love means, what we do to share life with one another. Love is a verb. It's also a noun. But ultimately for us, it is a verb. It is a way of being in the world. Love only exists in action. And so we share with one another. To have love be the spirit of this church, we share the beauty of the sky when we're outdoors. We share kind words with one another when we see each other. We share coffee or tea or we share hugs and tears. We share these things together. We're honest and open about the fullness of life. One anonymous poet said, we are each angels with one wing, and we must embrace each other in order to fly. In connection, we are lifted up, and our joys are expanded, and we rise above our sorrows and see them all in the wholeness and the richness of life. Love is a way of being. That's what a spirit is. It's not just a disembodied feeling. It's a way of being in the world. We can experience and pull us together. To be connected. To make those connections and to share the fullness of life. Now, when I was a boy, the image of a polar bear was of a fierce predator. I had seen those movies where polar bears killed seals. I knew of how dangerous they were. I had seen their claws. They seemed kind of innocuous animals in the zoo, but there was still something terrifying about them. And then one day I saw a video of a husky. It was a husky in Alaska. It was chained up in a yard, snow-covered yard, and then this polar bear comes up. And the polar bear comes up to the husky, and they sort of move around each other, and they begin to play. And they played together. And they played. They were wrestling. And there's the soft bites that dogs are always doing to show kind of affection with one another. And there's these huge bear hugs. It could have been crushing danger. They were loving. They were happy. They were fun. They were sharing that joy that they had both experienced when they were small, playing with their siblings, right? And they were sharing this connection with one another. Joy, just pure joy to be together in the snow, to be playing and wrestling. And finally, they rested side by side there in the snow, friends. Friends across all the barriers, across all the differences. And there are many stories of how love and kindness and friendship can go across species, between species. We are not the only ones who love and care and embody love in the world. Eventually, the bear got up and wandered off into the wilderness. When I saw that video, one of the things that came up for me was Jesus saying, love your enemies, competitors, showing and sharing a moment of kindness with one another, of sweetness. And spirituality is not simply about agape or metta, this grand unconditional love. It's also about philia, about friendship. It's about eros, desire. It's all of these wrapped together, but especially kindness. Jesus calls many people friends. Isaiah says that Abraham, in Isaiah, in the prophet Isaiah, God calls Abraham my friend. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, who is an incarnation of God, is referred to as Arjuna, the warrior's friend. A sense of that kind of love, where we're equals and we are together and we are sharing the wholeness, the sweetness, and the pain of life. Love is a spirit, and as such it is action embodied in the world, all things wrapped together, a way of being. May love be the spirit of this congregation.